So how many of you are actually either developing or testing an application on iOS or Android, built in any language with anything? A few of you? Oh, all right, cool, pretty good. How many of you are looking to start testing your application? Perfect. There's a lot of different aspects to testing that I'm going to talk about. Today I'm mostly going to be focusing on UI testing, what we have to offer here at Microsoft with the Xamarin Test Cloud. And almost everything I'm going to be showing you, well, a lot of stuff I'm going to be showing you is completely free, just already built in. Some of the other stuff will be paid, so some of our other paid products and offerings we have. But to me, it's always important to start building my test suite and building it up front. I've been building mobile applications for over 5 years with Xamarin across iOS, Android, and Windows, and I hate testing. It's like the worst. Like, no developer wants to test, let's be honest. We don't. Yeah. We don't. It's like terrible. But why don't we? We don't want to test because it's like difficult, it's time-consuming, and we never see real benefit from it. So I never really fell in love with N-unit or X-unit testing. My business logic's perfect. It doesn't break. Why do I need to unit test that? But I actually fell in love with UI testing because my mobile applications, they're in front of my users all the time, and they have to work great. It's not like a stereotypical desktop application that I built for 4 years at Canon that just did printing software, and it just printed stuff, and it printed stuff over and over. If it crashed, well, the reprographer just double-tapped it and relaunched the application. With mobile applications, your app gets like 30 seconds to be relevant in the app store. If it crashes, and it crashed on some device that you didn't test on, well, boom, you're out of luck. And that's why I fell in love with UI testing, because it's so simple to do. Anyone can do it, even if you know nothing about code. I'm James Montemagno. I'm a principal program manager on the Xamarin team here at Microsoft. I've been at Xamarin before joining Microsoft for 3 years, and before that, I was a customer. This is stuff that I love. If you came to my session earlier on Xamarin or even in the panel, you may see my passion for this stuff. I simply love it. It's because I think the power of these mobile devices is just so just ridiculously amazing. And now, we're at a great point of time as developers and testers that we have a lot of amazing tools available to us to really simplify our process. So at Microsoft, we really want to be your complete mobile DevOps solution from start to finish. Now with the Xamarin platform, we want to be your actual application development platform, developing native iOS, Android, and Windows applications and Mac applications all in C#. Now everything else in the DevOps cycle, though, doesn't matter what you're building your application in, whether it's in Cordova or PhoneGap or Objective-C or Java, everything I'm going to show you today and the rest of the DevOps lifecycle, no matter what your application is, will totally work. And mostly we're going to focus on that testing part, which is what you do often with development, because as you're developing, you're testing your apps. And we're going to talk about Xamarin Test Cloud and testing your application on over 2,400 unique iOS and Android devices. But of course, you want to build your application. So you want to use something like Visual Studio Team Services or BitRise or Jenkins or Team City. To every single time I commit code, it automatically builds it up. It tests my tests and pushes them up wherever they need to go and then ships it off to my testers with something like Hockey App, which is another product that we have here that does two things. Hockey App first will distribute your application, iOS, Android, or Windows, to your testers around the world instantaneously so they can download and install. There's also an SDK to get crash reporting and feedback from your users. It's very cool. So everything you need from start to finish. But let's talk about the actual testing and why it's so important to test on these devices. Well, first, there's a lot of challenges. Development in general isn't easy, and mobile development isn't easy either. I mean, we try to simplify it as much as possible with things like plugins and NuGets and all that good stuff that we can suck into our applications. But at the end of the day, there's just a lot of different variety in not only the devices, but in the operating systems. On iOS and Android alone, I mean, there's just a bajillion different devices. iOS, we get a little bit easier between iPads and iPhones, and they get phased out a little bit easier because Apple controls that environment. But there's still 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different OSs that you need to worry about on iOS. And you also have to worry about tvOS and watchOS, and then all the different point releases of iOS. Then on Android, of course, it's all crazy. It's my favorite platform. There's a plethora of different OSs that you have to worry about. You have to worry about emerging markets. You have to worry about the 1,300 different brands and OEMs making devices. The 24,000 unique different devices out there, it's crazy. There's a lot of them. You know, Android fragmentation, everyone makes fun of because it looks something like this. This is the last year's OpenSignal report, which the Galaxy S3 was the the most popular device in the entire world. And you can't fit as many little squares in there as you possibly would. And this is market share for devices. And what you see actually is a lot of Galaxy devices, a bunch of these GT and GS and Galaxy Y and G2. And there's like four different Moto Gs in there because one's maybe on Verizon and one's on AT&T. And they're all a little bit different because the OEMs, the carriers, have spiced them up. And there's even a Galaxy Note 3 up there. I'm pretty sure you won't find a Note 7, unfortunately. Sad. I haven't flown in a while, like 2 months since the Galaxy Note 7 came out. And just when you talk about actual battery things, like when we talk about the test cloud, like we're running these devices nonstop, and even some of those have battery issues. It's crazy. But it's not just about the actual devices. It's that I want to test on all the different screen sizes too. And these are the Android screen sizes that are out there. You know, while I carry around nice 6P in my pocket, that may not be the case. There's a lot of people that are just buying that Go phone. It's a 480 by 240 screen or something like that. My app still has to work great there. I wanted to take the Uber app recently and put it up there because they've added so much junk to the bottom. It's like, do you want to be a driver? Would you like to eat something? Like, what is the license plate? And then here's a photo. But my map on my 6-inch phone is like this big. And I was like, I don't even know where my driver's at right now. It's crazy to think about. And while a lot of people do make fun of Android and this fragmentation, it's still there on iOS. Not only the OSs, but the actual devices themselves. There's still iPod Touches, which are very popular. Other different iPhones, which have things like 3D Touch. Some do, some don't. Only on the 6S and now the 7 devices. The iPad Pro Pencil. And then on certain iOS 9 and iOS 10 devices, there's multi-screen tasking. How do you test that stuff? There's all these variants. Should I go out and buy 20,000 devices? Well, it doesn't quite fit into an office or into a tiny 500 square foot apartment in Seattle. It just doesn't fit. And in fact, you'd have to buy a lot of devices. We did a survey of just US alone, not worldwide market share. So let's say I wanted to test on 50% of the top devices between iOS and Android. Well, I need about 50 devices just to cover half of the market in the United States. If I want to get to 75, that almost triples in numbers to 134 devices. To get to 90%, still leaving out 10% of the market, goes up to 300 devices. If you want to buy every single iOS device and every flavor of it, times $600-$700 a pop, that gets real expensive really fast. So you want to test, and there's a lot of ways that we can test today. We can do manual testing, so buy a bunch of devices and just test. That's definitely, people should do that. Should definitely test your applications. You can do beta testing, so make everyone in your organization test it. That's the best way to get kind of that real feedback of the non-developer workflows. When developers are building apps, they're like, all right, when I press this button, it does this thing, and it works. Well, they're not used to that. I've also done X, Y, Z, and this thing, and then it crashes. It's not how our mindset always is. You want to do unit testing. That's always important, even though I'm not a huge unit testing fan. I still do it. I don't love it, but I do it because it's important to test my business logic. But if we look at like that, it's more of a simplistic test. I can do them fast, but it's simplistic when it comes to a mobile application. It's advanced that it's testing my business logic, but it's not doing anything for my user interface. It's not sure ensuring that anything in the test of an app running on a device, it doesn't do anything with that. Beta testing, manual testing sure does, but it's not fast. It's long cycles to get that information back. And that's where automated UI testing comes in. So it's rapid, because you can put it into your CI cycle, your dev cycle, and it's also exactly what your users are doing on the physical devices. Let's see here, there you go, boom. So what we want to do is what our users are doing. So we want to tap, scroll, swipe, pinch, rotate, do text entry, GPS. These are the things that our users are doing. We need some framework to actually do this on the devices. And of course, we want to do other things that maybe our users aren't doing. Maybe just the network condition, the currency, the language. What happens when my apps get translated into German and something is super long on the screen? Or maybe what does it look like in Chinese or Japanese in different regions? I want to be able to access those different languages. And that's why we created a framework called Xamarin UI Test. It's a C-sharp framework that you can build and use in any application written in any language. It allows you to do exactly what I was just talking about. You can simply tap, enter text, scroll, pinch to zoom, anything that you can think of doing. It's completely free to use on a simulator or device. So you don't have to pay us, Microsoft, anything for this at all. and it works in native, hybrid, Xamarin applications. It's really great. So if your developers are running any unit tests and they're writing UI tests, they just say, oh, run all my tests, and then just see what happens. And we'll do that here in a second. It's really cool. So anything that your users can do, you can automate it. And then you can investigate the UI elements to make sure, hey, what happens when I enter a password that is too short? Do I get the correct dialog box? Does it turn red? Like, I can validate that the UI is doing what my business logic is telling it to do. And I want to stress that this is any app written in any language. And I'm going to demo both a Java app and a Xamarin application, so you can have the proof on both of those there. So let's do that. We're going to write our very first Xamarin UI test. I'm going to jump over to my Surface. Oh, that's my Mac. That doesn't look like a Surface. All right. Cool. Would you be able to put 30 minutes on my timer for me, boss? Appreciate that. All right, so I'm inside of Visual Studio. Now, I've built an application here. It's on iOS and Android. I call it the Coffee Tipper application. I built it because I drink a lot of coffee. And my girlfriend, Heather, she goes, James, you're a coffee snob. And I go, that is accurate. And she goes, you seem to walk into a coffee shop anywhere in the world and know exactly not only what to order, but what exactly to pay and to tip. She's like, I don't know. If I walk into this, what do I do? I have like a latte or I'm getting drip coffee. What should I be tipping? So I built a very simple application so she can install it on her iOS device and just say what her subtotal was, and I'll figure out the tip automatically. So I can come in here and I can say, oh, it's a drip coffee, probably like 50 cents. If I come in here, oh, it was a pour over coffee, that's a dollar, because it takes a lot of time to do pour over coffees. Or maybe it was just like a latte, and we can see, like, did they actually tamper and actually press down on the espresso that they were putting in there? And if so, that's an extra dollar, because they're putting a lot of work. A latte, you have to like froth the foam and stuff like that. Or, you know, if you're at Starbucks, like, you're pretty much good. You're just like, all right, just pay and you're good. So put that little switch in there no matter where you're at. So it's a very simple application, but a few different things are being tested here. Like, what happens if I go over and I, you know, say this is $3, is my UI update? What if I turn this on, turn it off? Like, when I go to drip coffee, it disables the checkbox. When I come back to espresso, it enables it, so I can actually tap it if I want to. So a few things can go right and wrong in this application. I also have a reset button that actually resets things, so it's probably good to test. So this is a Xamarin application that we can see over here. And it's a very simple Xamarin Forms application that I built. And what I have up here is, first, is a set of nUnit tests. So inside of here, I have a nUnit core, test adapter, basic nUnit stuff. And I wanted to first just test my business logic. So I have something like, am I at Starbucks, and what's the drip coffee? Just validating that when I enter certain things, that my business logic is going to return the correct values. So pour over, espresso, espresso tampered, correct or not. And over in the test runner, over here, we can see that I have Android test, tip view model here, and I can go ahead and run the selected tests. And it's just going to test my actual business logic of my application. And this is just your standard nUnit stuff, totally good. And that's great. So then what I created is I said I want to test basically what my view model tests are doing, but test the user interface. So inside of Visual Studio, you can say File, New Project. You could add it, I guess you would add it here. Under cross-platform, you're going to find UI tests, cross-platform. And UI tests works on iOS and Android today. So that's what I've created here. And it sets up a few little things on here. There's this app initializer, and you can do certain different things for iOS or Android, so you can configure the app. And inside of Android, you could set like the API file, the API key or APK file, or you can connect to an app or go to a device if you need to. Same thing on iOS, and we have this nice little platform here. Then inside my tests, essentially you have the test fixtures. So you say, does this test apply to Android or iOS? Just for demo purposes, I just kind of made it only Android. And then we have your standard nUnit stuff. Before each test, after each test, setup, teardown, and you have your tests. It looks exactly like nUnit, because if you go to your references, it totally uses nUnit. So your kind of standard application stuff applies. So what I can do to start building this actual test is create something like this. I get access to this app, And when I have an app, I can do app dot. I'll zoom in again. I like to zoom. Someone tweeted at me that they thought I was a pro at the zoom tool, so I appreciate that. It makes it easier to see. But when I say app dot, I have things like screenshot, scroll to, I'll have tap, swipe left, swipe right, tap coordinates, touch and hold, wait for element, don't wait for element. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say app.repl, which is a redeveloped print loop in my application. Now, what's really cool is that over here for a UI test, since it's a Xamarin app, this works great. So I can just simply say coffee tip.droid, and I actually add my application, and the actual UI test will automatically pick up the iOS and Android application. So if I come over here to my test one, and it just shows up in the test explorer, I'm going to say run selected test. This is going to compile up my application, compile up my tests, and it's going to relaunch a fresh session on my Android emulator. And this is the Android emulator for Visual Studio. But you could use Google's emulators. You could use a device. It doesn't matter. So again, it's going to just deploy a fresh session here. Ideally, let's find out. There we go. Cool. Now what's going to happen is it's going to open up the Xamarin UI test REPL. So what we can see up here is we have that the app has been initialized with the variable app. So I can say app dot. And I get this rich IntelliSense right inside this command prompt to do whatever my users are doing. So for instance, I could come in and I could do like query, whoops, app dot query. And when I do app dot query, it's going to return every single thing that's on the possible page, which is a lot. So I could scroll up and I could see that there's this item, this background, this toolbar thing, like this reset button. Here's the reset button right there that I could interact with. And each of these have a unique ID, so identifiers. Now that's really hard to parse, so we added a keyword called tree. And what tree does is it gives you a compressed list of your user interface that you can interact with. So here, for instance, I could come up and say, oh, here's my subtitle. So I just say app dot. I could say clear text, and I'll say subtotal. There we go. Boop. It's going to go over here. I didn't touch the app. It just does it. I can say app.enter text, and I'll say subtotal. There we go. And then I'll say maybe 5.00. There we go. It just enters it. I'm not touching it. I'm not doing anything. And then I'll say app.tap, let's say drink type. There we go. It's going to pull that up, and I'll say app.tap. And I'll just do espresso. There we go. Enters it there, pulls back. And then I'll say app.tap. Apparently, I spelled it wrong. It says tamered. That's no good. That's OK. Say tamered. That should flip that switch. And then now I actually have a little tip that's in here. So now we could actually then query additional things. So if I do app.tap, query again, I can pass it the actual item I want to test, which is going to be my total. There we go. And it's going to now return the actual text view that's right there on the application. So now I've kind of generated my application. It's a very quick test to say, oh, make sure that my espresso tampered returns the right value of 550. So I want to bring this test back into my app. So I'm going to say copy, which is a nice keyword. I'm going to remove my REPL and just paste the actual test right there, which is pretty cool. Now, when I'm building my test, though, I want to probably do something a little bit more. What I'm actually testing here is if I don't do any asserts or anything with NUnit, every single time I do something here, it's actually asserting that that element is on the screen and it's actually interactable. So if your keyboard comes up on top of it or something like that, that is hiding it, you want to ensure that your users have access to it. So the test would fail if for some reason I couldn't clear the text. Now I want to get rid of this app.query because I don't need it. But I'm going to do this thing called app.screenshot, and I'll say app launched. There we go. And then maybe clear text. I kind of think of like grouping my application together. So I say app.screenshot. And think of this as like snapshots in time, and we're going to use this later on. And a screenshot will actually take a device screenshot. And you can enable it just to dump those screenshots locally. So if you need to actually go to the App Store, have physical proof that something has failed, it's really nice to have that actual screenshot there. Let's say entered $5. And then I'll just say something like app.screenshot. And then Total is 550. That way I have like some stuff there. Now what's cool is that you can do other things with this app. So maybe after I enter it, I'll do dismiss keyboard just in case it's there. It wasn't there in the emulator because I didn't need it. This looks good, this looks good. But this query is gonna return an array of app results. So I'm gonna say var result equals app, and I'm gonna app.query, I'm gonna say first, just there. Give me that first result that is total. Now what I can do is I can say assert.r equal. I'm gonna say result.text should be equal to total of 550. Is that what it is? Let's see what it is in my REPL. Total 550. There we go. Now, of course, I'd probably want to check my location and is the dollar sign correct? Is the currency there? But for demo purposes, we can assume that this is okay for now. So now what I can do is I can rebuild my UI tests right here, build it on up. It's successful. I have my test one here. Well, maybe I'll do like entered. Oh, now it's going to. So I hit redeploy here and test again. So there we go. So now it's going to have our new test that we just generated. And it'll redeploy and it'll revalidate. So imagine you have a whole test suite of like 4, 5, 6, 8 different tests. Each page of your application, you're testing. Just with now you're getting ready to commit to master. Like, oh, let me run all my UI tests from my team just to make sure I didn't break anything. There we go. So it goes in. It should run the test, clears it out, enters it up, hits that, boom, and it's successful. Awesome. We're good to go. Like, totally great and good to go. So it's pretty awesome in this instance. So now I can just build up my test suite. And I built my UI test. Like, that doesn't seem too complicated. It's just I have that, and it's good to go. Pretty cool. But what if, for instance, you have something that you don't have the code for, right? Like, you're not having this code. Maybe someone, you're a QA tester, and you just have the APK, and you're like, well, I need to build some regression tests, I need to do something like that. And I told you I was gonna test both a Xamarin application and a Java application. So let's test out a Java application. And here's what I'm gonna do, is I'm gonna come up into Visual Studio. I'm gonna create a new instance of it. So we have like this test here. I wanna show you can do with any language for real. I'm gonna say new project. And I'm going to create just a new, and you can create an iOS only or an Android only one. So I'm going to create a new Android one here. Boop. There we go. And we'll take a look at the setup that's here. It's very similar to what I just did. And this is even more just stripped down, super simple. So here's what I have is before each test, I'm going to configure this app, very similar, but it's only an Android app. So I'm only going to test that. Then it says, hey, can you configure the APK file? So here it goes. If you just have an APK file, you don't need to do anything special, nothing has to be installed. And then what I want to do is I want to test an app. So what I did is I went to the App Store and I downloaded an application on my desktop in my demo folder called Alaska Airlines. I'm a big fan of Alaska Airlines. And I just kind of drag and drop this APK in here so I get the file path. So I'm just going to go ahead and grab this file path and hit enter. This is an application. I obviously didn't build it. It's built in Java. There it is. And I'm just going to go and paste this in here. There we go. There we go. Cool. Awesome. So now it already gives you the first test. It says app.screenshot. If you do just this, if you leave this session and you only do app.screenshot, huge win. You've just literally built more tests than 75% of the entire industry, just with just saying new. Because that's going to validate that, A, your build and your app actually deploys on a device, and that the first screen launches. That's actually pretty important. So if you leave anything today, file new, add your app, you're good here. So I could come in here and I could literally say app.REPL again. I could do this whole thing, and I could show up in the test recorder, et cetera, et cetera. But what's really cool is that we have an additional feature in Visual Studio Enterprise that's called the Xamarin Test Recorder. So see this little icon up here? It says, hey, I would like to record a new test. So I'm going to do that here. I'm going to select the Android APK. There we go. Now what it's going to do is it's going to connect to that application, and it's going to automatically deploy that Alaska Airlines application right to my Visual Studio emulator. There it is. On the bottom left, we're going to see connecting to app. We'll give it a second here. It's connected, and it's created our first test here. Boom. And I can come in here, and I can say, take a screenshot. And then come back in here, and I say, oh, maybe I want to validate this ad reservation. So I'm going to tap on it. Did you notice that it said app.tap already figured it out for us? I'm going to say Monty Magno. Go ahead and enter text. We'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Maybe that's valid. Scroll down here. Hit add. Cool. This is a great valid test. Like, if someone enters a bad number, what happens? Does the app crash? Does it validate anything? Then I could just tap on this here, and I could get the idea of the message. Boom. Like, I just did that. I don't even have the code. I don't have anything. And I'm going to say, stop recording. Perfect. I could come back, and I'd, of course, say, entered info. And then here I can say button one just to make sure it goes back to the app screen. And then tapped add. Tapped OK. Cool. I just had an APK, generated the test for me. I went back and cleaned it up. I can come in here now and I can say, hey, let me go ahead and build this up. It shows up over here. I have my app launches. I have a new test. Boom, run. And now we're actually just going to go ahead and redeploy that entire test automatically, even shorter time. The app.repl is really nice if you need to actually get access to every little thing in there and you want to see exactly what your app is showing on the screen. But maybe you just want to build a test really fast to get you 80% of the way there. Boom, you're good. Now you could always put in an app.repl anywhere in there too, and it'll stop in place. So I want to spice up this application later on. I totally could. And then boom, our app launches, and it's good to go. Doesn't seem that difficult. It's boom, it's good to go. You can do the same exact thing with iOS applications. In fact, over here on my Mac, this is our Xamarin Test Recorder application. It works on iOS and Android, so I can just say, hey, I would like to test this application on an iPhone. I'm going to select an application, and I'll maybe select the coffee tip application. And what it'll do is exactly what Visual Studio was just doing, but it's going to do it and launch it over on an iPhone simulator. So over on Visual Studio, Android only, to test it. Enter my password there. But over on Mac, you can do both Android and iOS because just the simulators live there currently today. So here we go. We get the coffee tip application. Launches up. Up. Ideally, connecting. Connecting. There we go. Cool. So now I can say record. And then I can come over here and I can, start entering anything I want. 300. It has this nice little separate user interface over here so you can actually modify things later. So I'd already figured out clear text, it entered stuff here. I could say I want to take screenshots each step of the way and it'll generate that for me. I could come in and tap this, go down to pour over, hit this done button. And then, I'm done with my test. And I can redeploy it, launch it. And then I can go to export, and I can export the code right out of it, just like I copied and put it right back into my test. And I could bring it into Visual Studio or Xamarin Studio on a Mac, and I'm being productive. I'm just generating these tests really easily. So those experiences are in both IDEs. Any platform you're developing on, you're good to go. But let's take it a step further, and actually, how does this work? How does this magical thing work where I can magically say, enter this thing, and it does it? Well, I've already shown you the test recorder for both Visual Studio and, of course, Xamarin Studio on a Mac. And it just ships, and it's ready to test. And it works with the Android emulator, so you could touch the screen if you want to on a touch screen. Same thing for the test recorder on a Mac. You can download it, start doing stuff, you're good to go. But how this works, essentially, is that there's a Xamarin UI test and a test agent that sits inside of your application. So on Android, we automatically re-sign and we inject an agent into your application for testing. And it's built on top of Calabash, which is a very popular open source testing framework that the creators work at Microsoft now and previously at Xamarin. And then essentially it crosstalks between your application back and forth. A little bit more involved is something like this. Essentially you have that, to kind of pull it into multiple aspects, is that you have the app that's running these tests and your UI test is sending the test to the agent, which is passing some JSON over HTTP to this little test server that's built into your application, and then it's running inside of it. So that's how it's work. It's not super magical, but it's there, and it's running inside of it, so we can pass these commands back and actually tap around with that framework that's built into iOS and Android. So now let's say you've built up this test suite of 100, 200 different tests, so maybe not that many, maybe five. Say we got five tests. What else can I do with it? I could sit there and every single time I commit, I'm just ready to commit, I say, let me test, and then I wait to see if all my UI tests run. But that only gets me as far as whatever devices I have sitting around or how many emulators I want to actually boot up every single time. What I would really like to do is take advantage of maybe a huge device cloud or lab to run those same exact UI tests on maybe tons and tons of iOS and Android devices. And that's what the Xamarin Test Cloud is. Xamarin Test Cloud is the paid part of kind of our testing solution, where you pick and choose on a monthly or yearly basis how much device time you want. So you can say, I would like to test this application on this many devices right now. And you just ship it up, and we'll do it here in a second. And you pick the devices. They're real physical devices. So they're not jailbroken. It looks a little bit something like this. There's not very many photos of what exactly the Xamarin Test Cloud looks like because we keep it under lock and key. It's beautiful. I got to walk through it. But they're real non-jailbroken mobile devices, 400 plus different configurations. So as far as iPads running all these different versions, Android devices running all these different versions that you can pick and pull from. So they're real physical devices, which is important because that's what your users are using. They're not emulators or simulators. And like I said, you get to pick what devices you want to ship on, maybe by market share, by OS version, by name. What's really cool is that while I've been showing you Xamarin UI Test, which is all C-sharp driven, the Xamarin Test Cloud actually supports other languages too. So if you're already using Appium or Calabash with Ruby or Selenium or something like that, you can actually ship those same tests to the Test Cloud. I like C-sharp, it's my favorite language, so I use Xamarin UI Test because it's really powerful. But Xamarin UI Test kind of sits on top of Calabash, so it kind of runs that way. So let's actually take that exact test that I just built and shove it up into the Test Cloud. So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back over into Visual Studio 8. There we go. Cool. And let's go ahead and take our Coffee Little application and ship it up to the Test Cloud. So what I can do is I can simply right-click right here into the Xamarin UI test and say run in Test Cloud. And when that happens, what it's going to do is it's going to automatically go out and make sure everything is compiled, everything that I want to do. And then down here, we're going to see that it's going to actually ship all my UI tests, my NUnit framework, whatever I'm using, and my application up to our Xamarin Test Cloud. And it'll allow me then to pick the devices that I want to actually run on. So it doesn't take too long. It uploads it. And now I get this little pop-up that says you'll be redirected to the Test Cloud website. Boom, here I am. I'm already logged in, or else I would ask me to log in. And then we get granted with this pop-up. It says, hey, pick a team. So you can have multiple teams, multiple app teams. I'm going to go and select myself. And then right here, this is cool. We've actually optimized this. Since these are real physical devices, there's wait times that are associated with it. So you can say, hey, let me pick the top devices that have a short queue time. There's also availability, so how many are available. We have 90 Nexus 5 devices, 29 Android 4.4, Nexus 7 devices. This is cool, so I can make sure I pick that one just for fun. But you can dive down into market share, what are the most popular devices. If you want to get that G2, there's only two of them, so there's a long queue time. But you could go down to manufacturers, OSs, anything you want. So I'm going to select these 10 devices, hit next, and boom, it's off. It's off running. It's off actually shipping it up to the Test Cloud. And then it's going to validate my build, and then it's going to bring me into my portal where I've already run a series of actual tests, the number of tests, my app size, my peak memory usage. And this is all the different actual tests that I've actually run onto my application. So here it'll validate my package, do some stuff. I can tap on one of the other tests that I had run. Make this a little bit bigger for everyone here. So here I just have a simple test for at Starbucks, and I'm running this on three devices. So I can tap on one, I get memory usage. If there is CPU usage available, I can get to it. A device log that's available to me so I can see everything that's happening. These are real screenshots, so I can tap on that and get to the full size. There it is, it's a full device screenshot which is really nice. And what's nice about the test cloud is that it enables you to not only get a report back of what's happening as I go down, but it also ensures that the UI, I can get a visual overview. Does the UI look correct? Like, there's a little bit of border between here, but not over here on these devices. Does the UI actually look correct between these different devices? And these are real keyboards that are popping up. Does it overlay on top of it? Which is really interesting. So you can do that, of course, on iOS and on Android. I could come over onto my Mac, right, back over here. And I had that export, but I also have send to test cloud. So I could send that single test up to test cloud. And that'll do the same thing. It'll upload. I think I have a simulator build, but it'll package up your application, then ship it up to test cloud or from Xamarin Studio. Either way, you can go back and forth testing that application, which is really amazing. I'll show you a more complex example, for instance, which is our Xamarin Evolve conference application, both for iOS and Android. Inside of here, we have 28 different devices that were tested on, so I built a conference application. We can see here that these are very complex. I group these together, so events, feed tests, info tests. So, you know, does the Wi-Fi setup or does it work navigating to a sponsor? And I ran this application on all these different devices. It gave me an amazing visual cue where, you know, actually on iPad. Thank you. Wrong one again. Well, let me get out of this one. So here's our Xamarin Evolve conference application, where I ran it on 40 different iOS different devices here, which is really cool. I can actually tap in specifically. I can use my keyboard just to go through and get that visual indication of what's going on. And I'm going to pump this up just a little bit more. Whoops, that's interesting. It scales a little bit interesting in Edge. So I use Chrome. If I can go ahead and tap on these feeds, I can go left and right through the different devices, and we get device Chrome, what it's actually going to look like. I can go up and down. And what's interesting here, if I actually go to this full size one, I didn't catch this before production, but notice right here how that line chops off. Like, that's a visual bug that I caught because of the test cloud that was here, where it should look something more like this. Right? So sometimes it's not just about the actual pass or fail, but does the UI actually look correct? And you can see here, it's actually chopped off a little bit too. You know, me developing applications. That's really cool. So you're getting this, again, not only on iOS, but on Android and stepping through and getting this feedback loop. You get emails. You can tie this into your Slack integration, into your Visual Studio Team Service, into your different boards that are coming back. And you can get these and make sure that your apps aren't crashing or not doing stuff like that, which is really important. And if something goes wrong, for instance here, we can see for some reason on these devices, I couldn't go to this Wi-Fi information page, and I could tap on the device failure and say, oh, it couldn't find the Wi-Fi information. And was it a test failure? Was it an app failure? Did someone regress inside of there? Let's see how my coffee application is doing. Tap on here. Still running, so it's running. We'll come back to it because I have a few more slides, and then we'll see if it finishes. It's always risky to see how fast the test cloud can be currently. So of course, I want to do one more thing, right? So I have a few more minutes. Is I want to make sure that we tie this into our CI cycle. And again, we're kind of committing code, and it goes into a source repository, and it's being built, maybe in Visual Studio Team Services. And the Xamarin test cloud has a unique just command line upload. So you can go ahead of time and pick your devices. You can do file, new, run. Pick your devices. It'll give you a code, and it gives you the actual script, the command line script, to run to automatically send your application with every build up to the test cloud. And then you can funnel those back in. So for instance, inside of Visual Studio Team Services, there's build steps automatically set up to say, hey, go ahead and build my application, bump version numbers, build my Android application, and then send it to the Xamarin test cloud. It'll just automatically send your IPA file or your APK file automatically right up. But of course, it works with other CI services. If you're using BitRise, Jenkins, TeamCity, VSTS, of course, works. And it's just a command line, so you can actually run it anywhere if you have your own CI service. It's really nice. So what that would look like, if I come back over here, I actually have my coffee application already run and set up inside of Visual Studio Team Services for both iOS and Android. I can go ahead and tap on my Android release right here. And as I go in and edit my query and edit my release, we can see here I'm downloading my NuGets, updating my version numbers, building my NUnit tests, running my tests, building my Android project, building my UI test project, doing this, and then even deploying to Hockey app, the whole end-to-end. It's beautiful. I could go ahead and take a look at maybe some of the builds that have occurred. So let me go ahead and tap on one of these. Same thing on iOS, same thing. I could tap on this one. And then we get all the different outputs here. We can take a look at our artifacts, our coverage. We can see that I had 7 UI tests that were run right there. And I can tie this all back in. I can see that it was automatically deployed to Hockey app, and I can get the associated everything that I need right inside of here. So all my tests, everything built and shipped automatically. And that's kind of what we want. When I talk about, you know, DevOps and being testing part of it, what we really want is to make sure that all the stuff that we don't want to do, which is manually go upload a test every single time, we don't want to manually do that every time. So this will take some more time to finish, but rest assured, it would look very similar to what we had earlier with those other tests, which is very cool. And it depends on my queue that I'm in, and it's automatically running those 3 tests that I had there, and it's going. So cool. So if you want to learn more about the Xamarin Test Cloud, just head over to Xamarin.com or Xamarin.com/testcloud specifically. You can learn all about how to get started, either using Calabash with Ruby or Appium or Xamarin UI test. But if you just do that app.screenshot, do a few simple tests, it'll really ensure that you set that really high quality bar and ensure that you have that high quality when you end up shipping to your either in-house enterprise users or to the physical app store. So with that, I have maybe another minute or two for questions. So first, thank you very much. I hope you guys liked it, and I'll take a question right here. If you can just come up to the mic real quick.
What would be the easiest way to go from a native iOS app to a Xamarin app?
Mm-hmm. So it's a good question. We covered it in a panel a lot. But yeah, if you're transitioning over, if you just have an existing Objective-C application, well, one, everything that I showed you here would already work for your application. And even if you transition that app over to a Xamarin app, we don't do anything pixel-based or anything like that. It's all ID-based, so accessibility IDs for both iOS and Android. Usually when you're transitioning your app, if you have an iOS app, you could transition your UI over easily because it's the same UI, the storyboards and nib files. Then you would rewrite your backend to be cross-platform. So kind of go that route. Yeah. It's not a great answer, but if you want to email me, it's not a long great answer, I should say. But for time's sakes, that's the starting point. Yeah.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for this is great.
Yeah.
Do you have any plan for UWP or Windows Mobile, Windows devices test?
That's a great question. About UWP, do we have some plans for Windows 10 or anything beyond that? And we've publicly said that we've been trying actively. It's going to be a lot easier for us now that we're integrated into Microsoft to do some things. But there are some restrictions in the Windows stuff that we're working with the teams with. So I don't have a timeline. I don't have a definite yes right now. I don't want to commit to anything. But it's definitely something that we're working on really hard. Any other questions? Cool. One more. You got one more minute. Let's do it.
So I have a different question. I mean, it's not related to the app testing, mm-hmm. but in general, like web application testing. So if I have like a Selenium scripts that I write for the normal web testing, can I use those to upload it to the Xamarin cloud and test it on different devices? Mm-hmm. Not the app, but use the browser.
Yeah, so that's a great question around browser testing and things like that, if you have Selenium tests. If we were using the Appium demo, you can use the Selenium test driver, but it has to be a physical app. So you can't just open up Safari or something like that. What we often have developers do, though, is you can test the full, you know, JavaScript, things like that, and you can CSS and tap into CSS. What we often have them do is just create an application and embed their mobile website into it and then do the testing that way. It's a cheap and easy way to get an app, right, that you can embed our actual test runner into. So that's one way of doing it. And then our Appium support should... It's in beta right now, but it should be able to run your Selenium test per se if you're running in that mobile mode per se. I've never tried it, but I'm pretty sure that that would work. Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. I'm out of time. I got to catch an Uber. I got to get to the airport. But I want to thank you guys so much and have an amazing rest of Ignite. Cool. Thanks.